October 18, 2021, so watch for Pedro's show. Show, happy Monday. Started off John Coltrane doing My Favorite Things live at Juan Lespin and T, July 27, 1965, last Europe tour. And then Jeb solo London with repeats live in London, Jeb Bishop. And you probably could tell I wasn't Man Alone because of those sounds. Because of those Estonian soft engineers with their Skype invention, I'm able to have Jeb Bishop with me. Welcome aboard, Jeb.
Thank you. Good to be here.
And right away, we got to thank Brother Damon Smith for making the connect.
That's right. And happy birthday, Damon. It was his birthday yesterday, I think.
Okay. Grateful to you, Brother Damon. Bull fiddle. Did he ever hip you to that?
You mean the term? Yeah, I've heard that.
Well, it was a gig where he got three of his buddies to get on stand-up and invite me up to the city.
Oh, shit. No, I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, it was a gig many years ago when he was first starting on stand-up. And he called it bull fiddle for some reason.
Okay.
So I'm glad he keeps that spiel going because I thought it was just that one day when you get time, you ask him about it. But I want to get into your journey through music. I want to know how you got to where you got on the bone like you do. So please bring, Jeb, your earliest musical recollection.
Wow. Well, my earliest musical recollection has to do with hearing records at my folks' house, which was one of them I was into as a kid was Tijuana Brass. So I got some kind of brass sound in my head just from that. And then I started playing the trombone in the sixth grade in public school music program like a lot of people do.
Whoa. Well, can I ask you, this pad you grew up in, was there a musical instrument before school? Like, was there instruments in this your parents have?
I mean, there was a piano. My parents were not, I did not grow up in what I would call a musical household. My parents were not musicians. There was a piano there because my mom had learned a little bit of piano at some point, you know, a long time ago, but she never really played it. So it was there for me to bang around on.
I was going to ask you, did you ever jump on that piano?
I mean, I do have really early memories of, it's weird. I have this kind of fragmented memory of playing a piano that we had, and I was convinced at this really early age that I could hear a difference between the white notes and the black notes, the white keys and the black keys. I was convinced that they had this different kind of sound. And I thought, you know, if you play, I don't know if I ever tested it, but I was like, it was like, I thought if you played a white key for me and I was turned around, or you played a black key, I could tell you if it was a white key or a black key. So that was a weird thing.
You know, Curtis Mayfield tuned his guitar to the black keys, a lot of F sharps.
Yeah. Okay.
Let me ask you this. So you just, yeah. It was untutored, right? You didn't have to go through the, I don't know, the rite of piano lessons?
I never had piano lessons.
Okay,
no, never.
Okay. Because some people I've had on the show, it almost scared them away from music. Horrible experience. Other people, it was a great experience. So I was just curious. Now you said, my usual question is, yeah, were you in the choir or the marching band or shit? And I guess you on the bone, what, sixth grade?
Yep. Yeah, I was 10 years old, started in sixth grade. Yeah, it was a band, school band thing.
And what do you think made you gravitate towards the bone?
Well, yet another experience is that before that, some kids, like I was in grade school, maybe third or fourth grade or something, and some kids came from, you know, the local high school or junior high school, and they had this little sort of quasi-trad jazz thing where I think they even wore, like, striped jackets and, like, boater hats and stuff, and they were playing. And I remember I was fascinated with the sound that this trumpet player made, where he would do what I would now call, like, a downward lip slur and make this kind of, like, crackling sound that hit my ear in a certain way, and I loved it. So I wanted to play the trumpet. And then they came around to sort of assess kids' musical aptitude and also, I think, to try to assign instruments so they would have, like, enough instruments for a band. And I wanted to play trumpet, and they steered me away from that. I think they told me there was something about my mouth or teeth or something that wouldn't be ideal for that, and they pushed me towards the trombone. And maybe they were right about that, I don't know. But anyway, I got steered towards the trombone, but I really liked it right away. So I was like, okay, so that was it.
I heard in the marching band, bigger mouthpiece made it easier to work than the trumpet.
Yeah, it could be. I mean,
let me ask you this, Jed. First record you bought with your own money.
Oh, man. You know what I'm going to say is, depends on how you define my own money, but it was really young, and like I had an allowance my parents gave me or something.
That's what I mean. Like, you ain't got a lot of money, so it's. I'm curious, like, where would you spend it?
I think I bought a 45 of the Monster Mash, which was a hit.
Bobby Boris Pickett.
Exactly. I think that's what it was.
And Jeb, first gig you went and saw?
Oh, man. I mean, my parents took me to see, like, symphony orchestra stuff, and for a while that was what I wanted to do as a trombonist, you know, so I have early memories of that.
Yeah.
So that would be probably the earliest, like, concert experience, you know?
Sure. And, now you're probably around my age, so all the dudes in school playing brass.
Yeah.
There was no garage bands ready to do ska and bring you in.
At the time, no.
Right?
I didn't
you had
know
to be
I'm...
a 90s guy, right? All those kids in the 90s, yeah, they finally could get in the rock and roll bands, right? I want to ask you your experience.
Yeah.
I mean, our age, like, let's say the 70s, there was bands that had brass, like Chicago, very popular.
Yeah, I love that stuff.
P-Funk, right?
Yeah. Earth, Wind, and Fire. That was one I really loved.
Tower Power. Yeah, a lot. But when it came to, like, garage, bedroom, basement bands, not much, huh?
Yeah, not at that time. I mean, it would have been a cool thing to try to incorporate that, but that was an idea I wouldn't have had until much later, you know. But at the time, I mean, Chicago, my parents did have a Blood, Sweat, that classic Blood, Sweat, and Tears first album.
I listened to that too. Yeah.
I like that. And I was really, you know, in junior high school, I got really into Chicago. Like, they're, you know, I think I just had the greatest hits record or whatever. But because of the horns and that, I like that. So, yeah, that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. CTA, I think, was their first name, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that far back, yeah.
Far back. So, yeah. So what I'm getting at is you probably weren't in a lot of bands outside of school in your younger days, right? Or were you? Let me know.
No, I wasn't. And that was, you know, partly a function of, I guess, where I grew up. This is in Raleigh, North Carolina. That's where I grew up. And I don't think there just weren't, at least not that I was aware of, opportunities to do anything with a trombone outside of school for somebody like me, you know. But I gravitated towards classical music pretty soon. Like, as I got more serious about it, that was what I decided I wanted to do. So I was studying with, like, local symphony players and doing, like, summer music stuff that was geared towards becoming a classical musician. And I majored in that in college for my first 2 years. I went to music school, and I was focused on being a symphonic trombone player. And then I bailed on that after 2 years of that. But anyway, that's like, you know, that was where my head was at during that time in high school, especially.
Well, can I ask you why you bailed?
Yeah. To try to keep it simple, it's just I think I got disillusioned with it. Started to feel musically too stifling to me, for one thing. Like, I was kind of aware. I had started to become kind of aware of what I would call now, like, underground rock music and various kinds of jazz that I liked, you know. I went to school in Chicago, or just outside Chicago. This was at Northwestern. And I was able to see some really good jazz shows. I had, like, certain things. Actually, in high school still, I got a copy somehow or other of Richard Hell and the Voidoids' Blank Generation, which is
an album
that I love.
Great album. It changed my life.
That is still one of my favorite records. And that had nothing to do with classical music or the trombone or anything. But it might have, like, you know, corrupted my attitude a little bit somehow. And just led me to think, you know, it just seemed like a life that I didn't want to pursue. You know, it's just very, and I mean, I'm like, this was me at age like 18, 19 looking at it. You know, I mean, with the later perspective, I might have stuck it out, stayed in music school and finished that degree and found a way to use that opportunity to learn more about some other things in music. But at the time, I didn't do that. I just left music school, and I ended up, after a brief period of not knowing what I was doing, I studied philosophy for 7 years after that. So all my degrees are in philosophy, actually.
Okay.
But you
didn't put the bone down.
I did, actually, for quite a while.
Okay. I didn't.
But I took up first bass guitar and then guitar and then whatever I would get my hands on, and I played in rock bands in the 80s quite a bit in local scenes in North Carolina, and later, you know, I went to Arizona. There's one of the tracks I sent you is from a rock band I was in Arizona. I was playing bass in that. And when I went back, this was like 1982, I went back to Raleigh because I quit music school. I didn't really know what to do. I was an engineering major for a minute, but I got a bass guitar and I got involved with what was the punk rock scene in Raleigh at that time, which was a version of what people called the hardcore scene, right?
What was the club there? Kings?
Oh, that came a lot later.
That's later, okay.
Yeah, Kings is a great place, but that didn't open until much later.
Okay.
In the 80s, there was a place called First PC Good Times, and then it became the Brewery.
Right. I played there once.
Yeah, I saw you there with Firehose.
Right. Opening up for Sonic Youth, right?
I think that probably was right, yeah.
Yeah, it was our first tour.
There's also the famous Cat's Cradle over in Chapel Hill.
Well, I was going to say, you know, the triangle there, so there was...
Yeah.
All, especially Chapel Hill, yeah, and Carborough next door, right?
Exactly.
Let me ask you about the bass.
Yeah.
Because the bone bass clef.
Yeah, typically, yeah, doesn't have to be, but typically.
No, but I mean, that was. I might as well go for this because it's maybe the closest thing in the rock world.
Yeah.
Okay.
I had always been attracted to it. Even before, for some reason, I don't know, maybe that's, yeah, there could be some, you know, pitch, frequency, level commonality there that has something to do with it. But I just like the bass, man. I like bass lines. I guess I like thinking about.
You said Blood, Sweat, and Tears.
Right.
Jocko was in that band for a little while. And he pulled the frets out of his bass, you know. He wasn't the first Bill Wyman was. But maybe a fretless bass is kind of like a bone with that fucking, you know.
Yeah.
Later on in
Chicago, I was playing bass in some, when I was trying to begin my involvement more with, you know, we're going to call it free jazz or improvised music or whatever. But I was playing bass then, and I took the frets out of my bass, and I was playing fret with Leo. Wow.
Okay. So,
yeah.
Defeating Leo's reason for calling the bass a precision. You gave me this music here, Water Damage, you did with Damon. Let's play it.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Forget surviving trend to trend. Clean living is the best revenge.
If we only have planted onions, how are these tomatoes all growing? This refrigerator is so well stocked. We'll be right back. Everybody knows the tomatoes do not go in the refrigerator. We'll be right back.
Very soon to be moved to in a long lost range of locomotion. We should try to make friends. We should try to be free. Come on, listen to me.
Thank you.
Watch for Pedro show. That chunk of music start off with Water Damage. Damon Smith, Jeb Bishop. Then SLWCC Watt project got with Sam Locke Ward and Iowa City. Clean Living,
our debut
album. Deer Hoof, they got a brand new record. And this is Beat 'em Bard, O Ye Gates of Hell. Bombas Prendon after that with King of the World. World, W-H-I-R-L-E-D, people. A little pun rock. Bombas Prendon. Gabby Wynn from her new album, Banyan's Dream. Victoria Shen after that, an excerpt. Cloaca Turnabout 1. Guided by Voices, I Want a Monkey. And then the Brass City 5. Or is it V?
Oh, it's 5.
Okay, Roman numeral there. Joe McPhee. Jeb Bishop. I got to, a couple of years ago, meet Joe in New York City. I was just got done with a gig, and I was hobbling down the street and said, hey, Mike Watt, this is Joe McPhee. Hey, Mr. McPhee. He was very kind to me.
Yeah. He's a beautiful guy.
Yeah, absolute, absolute. And it directed me to search out his music and beautiful stuff. And so tell me, what's your connect with him?
To Joe McPhee?
How'd this happen?
Oh, that piece. Yeah. Well, that was a duo recording that Joe and I did early on because I had met Joe. He came to Chicago in the 90s and played at a series at the Empty Bottle that John Corbin and Ken Vandermark were booking. And Joe was a hero to both of those guys, and they brought him in to play this show. And that was the first time I had heard him or met him. And I think he crashed at my apartment, actually. And we ended up staying up and talking, and I played him a recording of that I had done at home of like a solo trombone thing. And he liked it, and then he approached me about doing a duo recording not long after that. So that's what happened. So
it's
that track.
It's all about people. That's really interesting. Yeah. Let me go back on bass a little bit because I'm a little prejudiced to that instrument.
Of course. Yeah. No.
What was your first bass?
My first and only bass that I still have is a 74 Precision.
Okay. And what about an amp?
It's been different things. Okay. Back in the day, what I had was this PV Standard head and like a big 215 cabinet with EVs in it.
My first bass amp in Minuteman was PV 400 with the 215 cabinet.
Yeah, this PV Standard had a certain tone quality I really liked. I don't know what it was about it, but it sounded great with the Precision.
This was sounding terrible for me, so I got rid of it as soon as I could. And I tried some wacky bi-amp thing that was even worse, really.
Shit.
Acoustic, right? Yeah. They were trying to make a rebound.
Oh, right. I had an acoustic for a while.
Was your P-bass 3-bolt neck or 4-bolt?
It's a 4.
Yeah, great. Because there was some 70s, especially jazz basses. You could pull them out of tune. Terrible idea.
Yeah. I was thinking about that because I was like, you know, why did they go to 3? And was it just to save a little money on like the metal? And
I think part of it was because at the same time they introduced, in the old days, you'd have to take the neck off and put a, you know, match cover to shim the neck. And they had a little trim adjustment. So I think that was part of it. But you're right. Okay. Some bean counter probably told the boss, look, I could save us some money.
I mean, you're saving 25% on screws right there, right?
Right. But you know what?
Yeah.
Notice there ain't any more. Yeah, right. There's no more 3-bolters. Okay, not such a good idea.
Yeah.
Like the guy, right? $99 instead of $100. Look at the money. Yeah, right. Maybe
I mean, that's
how I first start. Right. We're at the end of the first hour, October 18, 2021 edition. What Pedro Show special guest, Jeb Bishop. Hold tight for hour 2. October 18, 2021. It's the second hour. What for Pedro Show.
you let up. I obsess. When I said I'd never argued with anyone like I argue with you, I lied, I guess. A pattern throughout. There's always been a pressure in my head, a pressure in my head. A pattern throughout. There's always been a pressure in my head, there's always been a pressure in my head. Failed to dissipate. Thank you.
Thank you.
Watch the Pedro Show. Start off the second hour. Fruit from the Angels of Epistemology. Not the worst name. Brother Jeff was convinced of that, but I'm enlightened him. Black Humor after that with Hometown Vigilante, Big Boys from Austin, early 80s. Nervous, Al Margolis, No Voice Trumpet. Probably November, huh? So we're a little early. Al Margolis is going to be on the show soon again. Chester, New York. Love the man. Alex Ward, Weasel Walter, Jeb Bishop with Trimmin'. How'd this threefer come about?
It was a recording date in New York City the day after a gig that I had done there with a different group. And actually Damon was on the gig, and Damon was supposed to be on that recording session, but then it turned out he had a conflict. So we just did it as a trio with no bass. So that was the first time improvised encounter between Weasel and Alex and me. I played with Weasel a lot over the years, but I'd never met Alex before. So yeah, and that whole record is just exactly what we did in the studio that day. We just went in and improvised it first meeting, and that's what the record is.
And Angels of Epistemology, one of the bands in Raleigh in your early 80s days.
Yeah, in the 1980s, and that's, I kind of included that particular track because it was the only one I played trombone on back then. You know, I was playing bass and guitar in that band and some Casio keyboard and mandolin and whatever else I could pick up. But on that track, I played trombone. So it's kind of an early documentation of me.
People say air guitar. But actually, there was a term, air bass, that Captain Beefheart used, I think, for Bruce Fowler.
That's right.
You're hip to that?
He did.
I think, I think Shiny Beast, right? There's no real bass.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, and to me, to see that Shiny Beast, that's an example of the trombone in a rock band that, to me, later on became way hipper than, like, Chicago or something. Because I like Captain Beefheart a lot.
Oh, so you were aware of it in the moment when it was happening?
No, not until a bit later.
You weren't. Okay.
Yeah.
And then people that are hip to this know there's Shiny Beast and then Bat Chain Puller, right? Because the captain would sign anything. Yeah, Puller. Because he signed anything. So there's actually two versions and completely different. Some of the songs are on there, but they're changed. And, yeah, a lot. I think both are happening.
I'm thinking of the one that has Bruce Fowler trombone on a lot.
Right. Yeah. And instead of the remake later. Yeah. And, in fact, they end up, I think, of. Well, there's Fowler Brothers, right? Because I think they're on Ice Cream Dock at the Radar Station.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, also a great record. But yeah, what's the other brother, does he play bass, or am I thinking getting that wrong?
Or is he trumpet or something? I thought they were a horn section.
Oh, it could be.
I think the bass man was Jeff Morris Tepper.
Yeah,
And he plays on that, but then he went on to, I don't know, maybe Pere Ubu to help, so he's not on Ice Cream for Crow. They got they moved Incredible Hat Size Schneider back to bass.
Mm.
So they only had one guitar, but that band never did a gig.
That's no?
Cliff Martinez on the drum. Yeah, they did one video, and then the captain quit music.
Ice Cream for Crow, is that the one that has Gary Lucas on guitar?
That's right. And Jeff Morris Tepper, there's a... The hat size moved to bass, so they still have two guitars. Right. You're right, Gary Lucas is on there.
Yeah.
And, I guess there was a crow that his daddy was a Helms Bakery delivery man, and there was a crow that befriended him.
Okay.
And that might be
crows are amazing.
Oh, absolutely. So are ravens. I mean, I have big time respect. You gave me a El Norte. Thank you.
On my right, lemon, no milk. Are they sealed by my eyes? I'm gonna have them. The trees I can't capture can capture my eyes. This train is moving with scars on each wrinkle, cars on each track, rope hills and leaf masks. I'm gonna have them. Said the scars I can't capture can capture my eyes. And the trees? Have you appreciated a tree today? When I was 10, I used to climb a tree every day when I got home from school. But that's a story for another time. My son, fall passenger. Because he can't divide day with word and night with the night. A tree with my legs and love with what's right. I'm going to have it. I'm going to. I'm going up. Those orange stabbing trees, they go up, they go up, they go up, they go up, they go up. With their own brand of green dark emerald skirt. Separated one for every 10 by the length of a body. You got a light coffin? I want a light coffin made out of pure light. And one for my saxophone and one for my mic. Night would be better, but might not be true. I'm talking to myself over talking to you. I talk to myself while I'm talking to you. I talk to myself while I talk to you. I'm talking to myself like I talk when I'm you. I'm talking to myself while I talk when I'm you. I'm talking to self when I'm talking to you. I talk you all the jokes. I want my light coffin to be lined with faded red velvet, with a pocket kind of top case box-like thing by my head. And by my side, and near the feet, an open top divide. Just go look at a sax case and get the measurements. You'll know what I mean when you see it. To have it. I'm going there. The difference between my saxophone coffin and the saxophone case? There are details I could give. But only once I get there, only once I get there, only once I get there. And once I get there, I can assure you there'll be need for alterations. And before I get there, I'll pretend to care by using hexadecimal numbers and never being satisfied. Oh, no, 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 never being satisfied. It's my people. Don't blame the child. No, don't blame the child. I'm going to. I'm gonna have him. I have many opinions. Jimmy start and I will start. But even better is to have. To have I not share, to have I not stare, and then to have many shares. To have all the having. I'm gonna have him. I'm gonna have and not share, to have I not stare, and then to have many shares. To have all the having. I'm gonna have. singular ride that always pays to play. I'm going to. Don't you get better than me on me. I started that game before you were here. You cowards. You cowards amongst them. I have risen. I'm going to. Have you. I'm going to. Have and not share, to have by not staring, to have many shares, to have all I have. I'm going to have it. I'm going to have and not share, to have by not staring, to have many shares, and to have all I have. I'm going to have it. I'm going to have it. I'm going to have and not share, to have by not staring, to have many shares, to have all I have, and I'm going to have it. I'm going to have it. I'm gonna have and not share, to have by not staring, to have many shares, to have all the have, and I'm gonna have and have it. I'm gonna have and not share, to have by not staring, and to have many shares, to have all the have, and I'm gonna have it. I'm gonna have it. I'm gonna have it.
Pedro Show. That chunk of music started off with Yort Dykstra.
Yeah, that's right.
Right, because we got the Dutch spell in there. But we got a lot of Dykstras here, but this is how it is over there in the Netherlands. And then Jeb Bishop with El Norte, live in Nijmegen. You remember the venue?
It was at a jazz festival, and it was in some kind of small theater.
Okay.
I don't, off the top of my head, I can't remember the name of it, no.
And were you just thrown, this twofer duet just thrown together, or did you know Jorrit?
Yeah, no, Jorrit is he's been a colleague of mine for a long time. He is Dutch. He's from the Netherlands, but he's been living here in Boston for quite a while. Okay. But even when I was still in Chicago, he was coming there, and we did a number of projects together. And one of them was this duo. We made a duo CD. But that track you played is from a little tour we did in Europe as a duo. So we played, we were doing our own compositions. That one, El Norte, is a composition of mine that I did for the duo. So yeah, it's kind of a little band that we had going.
Well, how'd you meet him?
I met Jorrit. He approached us in Chicago at some point. It was back in the early 2000s. And he wanted to come and do a project with Chicago-based musicians. So he put together... And so that's how we originally met.
Okay. We had Andre Vita after that in Berlin with To Haven. Holly Reeve, Family Ties out of Glasgow, Head Boggle. He's got a brand new album, Who's Playing Guitar? His name of the tune. And then finally, Jeb Bishop Trio, round two. What is the Bishop Trio?
Well, there were a couple of versions of it, but that one is with Jason Repke on bass and Frank Rosalie on drums. Really great rhythm section. At the time, we were all in Chicago, but now Frank lives in Amsterdam, and I'm in Boston. But, at some point I had this book of trio tunes, and I just thought it was time to record them. So I went in the studio and recorded a bunch, and I did a self-released CD of that, which is what that track is from. Yeah, that was back in 2009.
Now you're saying Jeb Bishop Trio has had different incarnations?
Yeah, before the one with Frank and Jason, I did the trio with Kent Kessler on bass and Tim Mulvena on drums. And there's actually also a couple of CDs of that, and we did a bit of touring with that version. But those are both the versions over the years. And then later on, I expanded it. I added a trumpet player, Russ Johnson, and we did a quartet, and I did a quartet CD more recently.
Well, you gave me something we're going to play at the end, right? Flex Quartet,
yep.
Huh? Right.
Yeah, exactly.
So let me ask you about the Jeb Bishop Trio. Was this the fucking first group you had where you're the shot caller?
If you leave out the earlier rock bands, like in North Carolina, then yeah.
Wrong. I didn't understand. But I thought you joined other people's bands, and you actually had your own bands in Raleigh.
It depends on how you want to call that, but there was a punk rock called Stillborn Christians that, three of us had, and that was, I would say we were all equal co-conspirators.
Yeah, collaboration, okay.
Yeah. And then that Angel of Epistemology, similar deal, we all got together and made this band, I wouldn't call it my band. There was another one around then.
I understand it now. You didn't give me any recordings of that stuff. Is there a reason?
Well, I had 11 tracks, man, and I...
Okay.
I thought about what to do, and I thought, I thought about sending some of that stuff, but I thought,
you can in the future. I'll play it and stuff.
Yeah, skew it towards the present day a little more, or maybe concentrate on...
Sure, absolutely. In fact, what I did was, Damon Smith gave me this big hour-and-a-half gig you did with several people. I think Walter Weasel might have been a part. That lady who was just on the show last week. She lived for a while in Austin. She's in Brooklyn.
Sandy Ewan.
Sandy, yeah. Absolutely. She was a great guest. But that thing, I had to split up like six parts because it was so long. But I played all that, and I think that was pretty fucking recent, a month or two.
Yeah. Am I on that, you mean?
Yeah, you are on that.
Okay, then that was a couple of years ago, I think.
Maybe that's when it came out then, because Damon Smith turned me onto it.
Could be. Damon is constantly. Yeah, Damon's a good instigator. He's constant making stuff happen and putting stuff out. The guy hustles.
But that ain't a bad thing, right?
No, that's not a bad thing at all. That's not how it happens.
Not at all. Not at all. Okay.
Yeah.
But one day I want to hear about those Raleigh bands. You send me some music so I can play on the show. I go, this is early Jeb Bishop. This is Jeb Bishop on bass. Because another thing, you didn't send me music where you're playing bass guitar.
No, that's not true. One of them, the one by Ooze, I think it's called. That one, I'm playing bass on that.
Ooze. Oh, that's at the beginning of the next hour. Okay, well, we hadn't got to it yet.
Yeah, I'm on bass on that one.
Okay, so we get to hear a little bit of Jeb Bishop on bass.
I made sure, man, if I was going to talk to Mike Warren, I was going to put it.
But look, I think the boat is beautiful, man. I really do. I think the bone's beautiful. It's a bass clefer working it, man. And it's, I tell you, the fretless, not too far off. Not too far off.
The trombone is a special horn for sure. Like one guy I played with recently told me he thought it was God's instrument. You know, there's something
about
sax player Alan Chase, who is in Boston. Really, really great musician.
Yeah.
And I made some kind of like disparaging joke about the trombone, and he said, no, man, it's God's instrument, you know.
Wow.
And I know what he means. Got this special voice, you know, it's like it can be really kind of shattering in a way, you know.
Yeah. I like that. Let's put it this way, it can bring it.
Yeah.
It can bring it. We're at the end of the second hour, October 18, 2021. Dish and Watt, Pedro Show special guest, Jeb Bishop. Hold tight for our feet! October 18, 2021, it's the third hour of the Watch from Pedro Show.
you might wonder what's going on with this band. They seem a little hyperactive. Well, we wrote a song about it. Guess what it's called? Hey, Bob, guess what the song's called? It's called Hyperactive. It happens because when I'm sleepy and hazy, really lazy, I get the urge to go crazy. You're such a baby, baby. I don't want you to go away. I don't want you to go away. I don't want you to go away. 'Cause when I'm sleepy and hazy, really lazy, I get the urge to go crazy. Guitar solo jam. Solo Elijah, I mean Castle. Uh-huh.
show started the third hour off with Jeff Bishop on bass guitar for Ooze, live in Tucson. This must have been during your Arizona phase of your journey. Final party track. Now, is this an actual title or is it a description?
It's a description. I mean, we had a good little set of tunes with that band, but I don't think we ever gave any of them titles. So, get a live gig at a party, and that was the last one we did at the party.
Okay, And then, in my opinion, the worst band name, Babes New York City with Hyperactive. But they have a good little band, but that name's got to go. Ray Shin after that. Emptiphany. E-M-P-T-I-P-H-A-N-Y. Mr. Monk, right? He comes up with his own title.
Yeah, exactly. Right, that's a
good fuck after that from Chicago. Copacetic Bandana.
Excellent.
Titles, And then Jeb Bishop, Man Alone, Downtown Crossing.
Oh, yeah.
Tell me about that.
Well, that track, that's from a solo cassette that I did on the label of a guy, a musician, I should say, Bill Tucker, who was based in Chicago, and I did the cassette is a live recording mostly of a solo gig I did here in Boston, but then I needed like 5 more minutes. So I decided to do like an electronic, basically, track where I took a recording of myself playing trombone and I manipulated it electronically so that it doesn't really sound like a trombone. So it's more like a 5-minute piece that I put together based on a trombone recording. That's what that is.
So it's been kind of not only repurposed, but like revoiced.
But
it's interesting, right? To do stuff, just juxtapose different kind of contexts.
Yeah. You know, I've only dabbled, I would say, in that kind of thing with like manipulating source material, but it's something I kind of would like to try to get more into, you know, like instead of just playing the horn, but trying to deal with like studio aspects, recording aspects, things like that.
Let me ask you about that. Do you have something at home or do you go to a studio?
Typically for projects, we go to a studio. I do have some equipment here at home and I'm kind of in the process of trying to assemble a little bit more serious home recording setup. So I just got a pair of really good microphones from Sweden, this company Line Audio.
Sure.
I like those. And a Zoom H6, which a lot of people have, but actually if you put some good mics in that thing, you can get some really good recordings.
This gulf between the musician and the people who record musicians, that's getting smaller, huh? I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, and I know a lot of good engineers who are themselves musicians
musicians
record their own stuff, you know, who take that on themselves. So,
also, the hardware got more econo.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's
it's a good thing. So now, the idea of creativity hasn't been solved, but maybe it shouldn't be.
I'm not... You mean we haven't figured out how to automate that one yet?
Yeah.
I know Elon Musk is probably working on that.
Yeah, right.
How to automate creativity.
But you have to like it. The algorithm says you should.
That's right. It's demonstrably good, you know. If you don't like it, you're wrong.
Yeah. Can you believe that shit? So, when it comes to composing,
right,
is a lot of your stuff improvised, or do you get temas together and keep notebooks on them and develop them?
Yeah, I mean, I mean, improvisation is really at the core of everything I do, but I do work in a lot of groups where we use composed material. But even in those, the composed material is generally a way to set up improvisation, right? So, in that respect, I would say it resembles jazz. You know, that's something it has in common with jazz, is that you have some composed material and a structure of some sort, but then the kind of meat of the music is the improvisation. And in terms of ideas and things, I mean, my process for it varies depending on what the project is, but I have notebooks full of little ideas that I jot down, like audio stuff on my phone and tons of scraps of paper, things like that. But the amount of time I spend composing is pretty small compared to, you know, the amount of time I spend like doing free improvised gigs or gigs that are primarily free improvised, or, you know, other people's projects where my job is to play their stuff. There's a collaborative group here in Boston called Cutout we've been working regularly with, and that everybody brings in pieces for that. But our approach there is to try to like structure the sets so that we use the pieces in a freer way and mostly improvise the music. So yeah, it's that kind of a balance.
Yeah, interesting. Interesting. Yeah. You know, I guess a lot of listening.
Yeah, I mean, improvisation, you have to be listening and in the music and creating it at the same time, which
right,
is the big
right. Which is a hustle, right? That's a fucking tall order.
You've done some things like that, right?
Yeah, they were all pants shitters, all pants shitters.
Yeah, but like a record like Way Back, you did that thing World Broken. Weren't you on that record?
I helped the Saccharine Trust people because their bass player haired out the night before. An incredible, great musician, but he said, I ain't going to go up there with no songs.
I remember that guy. Yeah, I saw that band.
Bob Fitzer, yeah. Great bassman. Yeah. Kind of insecure. Right. Fretless player, in fact.
Exactly. I remember that. I had a conversation with him after a gig I saw in Raleigh, actually, about that. But then that record, though, isn't that pretty much an improvised record? World Broken.
You know what? It's like one of those Miles Smiles things. So it's a big jam out, but then after the fact, you edit, you cut.
Oh, I see.
Right? So it's all killer, no filler, so hopefully.
So somebody did like a Tio Macero kind of
wasn't
like.
Somebody was fucking Joe Biza. We know exactly who it was.
Did it.
I love
okay.
that man. I love that man. Look, yeah. I'm going to play the Diagonal. Some Freakadelic.
Okay.
from Pedro Show. Last music for this edition. Freakadelic from the Diagonal. Then Tolleman Berger with Untitled 3. This Tolleman is... They sold the van. I think him and his wife are touring now via train. Mm. Jeb Bishop, finally, the Flex Quartet that we were talking earlier in the show, people, concerning his trio, he expanded. He brought in that trumpet. He realized what he wanted to be as a boy, but had to get another man to come in to do it. That's the way life works out. And this is Razorlip, which is a good name for a good trumpet man. And it was live in Chicago. What was the pad? Empty Bottle?
That was live at the Hungry Brain in Chicago.
Hungry Brain. And speaking of Chicago, Jeff, did you know the Tortoise guys? You know, a lot of them live in SoCal now. In fact, last week I got to share a stage with Jeff Parker.
That's right. I was going to ask about that. Because that tune
incredible.
You played in the park.
Well, what he did was he played with Elliot Sharp first as a duet, two guitars. And Elliot, actually, I made a record with George Hurley called The Bootstrappers in the late 80s. That was improvised.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
Right. So I thought they were fantastic. Both Elliot and Jeff are incredibly creative people.
Yeah, I love those guys, yeah. I worked with Jeff a lot in Chicago, and is one of my favorite musicians, for sure.
Yeah, he lives out here now. And so does one of the drummer men, Johnny Machine.
Yeah, and, John Herney.
Right. He also does... I think tattoos, but great, some kind of great name when he does DJ. And then the other drummer man moved up to Portland, but he was here for a while, Mr. McIntyre.
Oh, yeah, right.
Right. So I think the bass man still, Doug, still lives in Chicago. So what's on the table right now on your music platter?
Oh, man. Well, you know, with the pandemic, things have kind of slowed to kind of a crawl, but I have a tour coming up in Germany in December with some German guys.
Okay. And where can people find you on the internet?
Oh, I have you can look at my website, which is kind of cobwebbed at this point, but it does have information.
Okay. You are at
JebBishop.com. You can find that.
JebBishop.com.
Yeah, and then there's a link from there to my Bandcamp page, which has...
Right. The other telephone poles where you can put up flyers.
Exactly. You can find me on Facebook and Instagram.
Yeah, probably the Yellow Pages, too.
Yeah, no doubt.
Remember that? That tome, the Yellow Pages, that never gets you... Remember they'd, like, leave them outside your front...
Yeah, they would bring them to your house.
Right.
Yeah, crazy.
That don't happen anymore.
No, or if it does, everybody throws it right in the recycling.
Big honor to have you on the show, Jeff. Thank you so much. When you get new stuff, will you come back on? We can play it and talk about it.
Thank you very much for having me, sir. It was an honor to talk to you. I appreciate it.
Well, I just gave you an invite. We can record some new stuff. Can we play it?
Okay.
Invite you on to talk about it?
I'll keep in touch. I'll let you know.
Okay. And maybe you'll have some bass guitar?
Maybe some bass guitar, who knows?
Big love, Brother Jeff. People, it's been October 18th, 2021. Just watch Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.